You're invited to stand. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is my special joy to welcome you all on this special Sunday. Today we celebrate God's creation together, and as we continue our worship and as part of that celebration, I'd like to invite Kimberly Hoover, who is a member of our Church and Society Ministry team, to come lead us in the Litany of Stewardship for God's creation.
O God, as we seek to relax our grip so that the earth, our fragile sister, might rest from our labors, Help us to see our world more vividly than we have done in the past.
Grant us vision for the challenges of this age, and give us hearts full of courage for the future.
As we seek to be wise stewards of the gifts of the earth in timber and oil, coal and gas, help us to know your world more humanely than we have in the past.
Make us learn that wisdom which will enable us to walk with reverent care of our sister, the earth.
Sharing God, draw us to contemplation and silence so that we may see, in wonder, our lives intertwined with the squirrels and the cardinal, the creatures great and small, and the beauty of each season. Help us to see the birth, growth, death, and rebirth so as to give us courage in your ongoing creation.
Deepen our faith
and enliven our thinking. Nourish our bodies and strengthen our souls that we may be your message in the world, your servants for the common wellness of the earth. Make us weavers of goodwill and of good stewardship in all the earth. Grant us grace through the Christ of the cosmos. Call us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and give us an extra measure of your Spirit so that our commitment to your creation would be holy work.
Let us go forth from this sacred place with steady hand, uplifted heart, with clear eye and alert mind, with firm step and willing hands.
May we arrive at fresh springs of renewal through God's holy word in our communities of faith and in deep solidarity with all creation.
Amen.
Let all the creation hear and bear witness. Amen.
Again, it is a joy for me to welcome all of you to worship here at Bethel United Methodist Church this morning, and I'd like to especially welcome all our guests and visitors who are with us. We are very glad you're able to be with us as we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning, and we would like to especially invite our guests and visitors to fill out the registration card that is yellow in the pew racks in front of you. There is a space on front and back for you to give us information, and we are grateful for any information that you give us so that we might reach out to you, make you feel as welcome as possible here at Bethel. I'd like to especially ask, do we have any first-time visitors this morning? We have a special treat for any first-time visitors. No first-time visitors this morning, but I see we have repeat visitors, and it is our joy to have you again. Let me give you all just a brief moment to greet those closest to you with the love of Christ, and when you hear the bells, if you'll please be seated for announcements. Thank you. All right, I've got lots of good information to share with you all this morning. If you have been visiting the church and are interested in becoming a member, I will be holding an Inquirer's New Members class on Easter Sunday, which is the 24th of April from 9:45 until 11:45, and this will give you an opportunity to have any questions about the church answered that you would like to have answered, and schedule you to join the church the first Sunday in May. So I invite you to come and spend that time with me if you're interested in becoming a member of the church. Also, please make a note, we have two special opportunities for worship on Holy Week, on Monday, Thursday, which is the 21st of April. We will be joining Rehoboth United Methodist Church at Rehoboth at 6 p.m. for worship there. And then they will be joining us on Good Friday for worship at 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Also, attention all our older adults, if you would like to go on the next BUMS trip with the Bethel United Methodist Seniors, that's being held on April the 29th, and the trip is to Orangeburg Festival of Roses at the Edisto Memorial Gardens in Orangeburg, and there is a registration form that you can fill out today and leave in the offering plate or give to Cheryl. Is Cheryl here today? I see Cheryl in the choir. I know Dan isn't here today, but you're welcome to put that in the offering plate as well. Don't forget our Lenten prayer stations are open. If you haven't had an opportunity, stop by during the week and take an opportunity to go through those stations. It is a very meaningful experience, and I think you'll be glad you did. Also, don't forget our Habitat Challenge for Lent. If you would like to make a special offering toward paying off the Habitat House that we are building this year, please mark it Habitat, and we'll make sure it gets where it's supposed to. Don't forget we need candy, and I'm thinking since Easter's late, we probably need candy that doesn't melt. No chocolate for our Easter spring fling on Saturday, April 23rd. If you'd like to donate some candy, just bring it by the office, and we appreciate that. There is an announcement about an Earth Week family event that's being held also on Saturday, April 23rd from 3 to 4:30. And Gills Creek will be being cleaned up, and all the details are there if you'd like to participate. And also, the annual Midlands Green Congregations Environmental Stewardship Workshop is going to be held at Forest Lake Presbyterian on Sunday, May 15th from 3 to 4:30. So there are two opportunities there if you are conscientious about thanking God and praising God for His great creation. Don't forget, today is the last day for you to register for an Easter lily in memory or honor of someone. And these sheets are out on the glass top table in the narthex if you would like to order an Easter lily for Easter in the sanctuary here. I do have one last packet of Bethel Blitz flyers. If you would be willing to take this and distribute them to homes in your neighborhood, it's full of upcoming things going on at Bethel, and we want our neighbors to know all that's going on at Bethel and get a special invitation to come and join us. If you're willing to do that, I'm going to leave these right here on the piano, and you're welcome to grab it after the worship service today. Thank you very much for your attention to the announcements. As we turn toward a time of prayer, let me mention that Lillian Collins, Janice Lawther's mother, remains at Richland but hopes to go to National Health Care this week. Mildred Terse has moved to Wildwood Downs for rehabilitation. She's no longer in the hospital. Bill Nicholson may be coming home this week. Carl Elkins is at home recovering, and we're very thankful for that. Please remember the family of Ernie Campbell. Ernie passed away on Friday, and I believe we will be celebrating his life here on May 7th. That's a Saturday, but we'll be sure to get details out to everyone who'd like to be a part of that. Thank you very much for that. I'd like to ask you all, are there any others you'd like to lift up as we remember prayer? Yes, ma'am, Ann. Thank you for reminding us. As I said, Bill Nicholson will be coming home, and he's coming home under hospice care, so they really need our prayers and our support. Judy is also sick with fever and chills today, so I can only imagine that all of this has brought her resistance down, so let's keep her in our prayers. And let's see, Bonnie asked me to remind, Sylvia Halsey Circle will not meet in the PAB on Tuesday night. It will be at Nancy Johnson's house. Is that correct? That's correct. Very good. Alice is having treatments for breast cancer. She wasn't feeling so hot this week, but today she felt a little bit better, and we give thanks to God. We'll certainly keep praying for Alice. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Sarah Bonneville, she's at home this morning. Please, please pray for Sarah. Any others? Yes, sir. Wayne Morris, Arnett's brother. Yes, sir. Lois Richburg is home with shingles, and she's in pain. We ask God to bless her. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you. Any others? Well, as we think about God's creation and the gift the earth is to us today, and think about the world in general, again, I was watching the news before church this morning, and there is so much going on in the world, y'all, that we know that God tells us He is sovereign in the world and that things happen according to His plan, but we see a lot of suffering in the world, and I just want to remind us that we need to be asking God to bless us with His peace and ask folks to help Him, to help them find Him as He sees fit to do that. This morning, we have the blessing of Diane Roddy. She's also a member of our Church and Society Ministry team who is going to come forward and lead us in our prayer. And Diane, we thank you for doing that. If you'll give us just a moment of silence so we can spend some time with God. If anyone would like to come and kneel or stand at the communion rail, you're welcome to do that this morning. And if you'll lead us in the Lord's Prayer at the end, thank you.
O God, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, you place us in your creation and you command us to take care for it. Your works declare glory and splendor, and you call us to praise and reverence. Where we have degraded or destroyed earth's bounty, forgive us. Where we have taken beauty and majesty for granted, have mercy upon us. Where we have become estranged from the creatures with whom we share this planet, grant us your peace. Renew us in the waters of baptism. Refresh us with the winds of your Spirit. And sustain us with the bread of life. In the name of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the new creation, we pray. Amen. Now let us pray with the confidence of God's children, his special prayer. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Receive our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings. I invite you to prepare to pray together our prayer of dedication. It is printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Make us worthy, Lord, to serve those throughout the world who live and die in poverty and hunger. Give them, through our hands, this day their daily bread, and by our understanding love, give peace and joy. Amen. be seated. I'd like to invite all our children to come forward at this time to spend a few moments with Miss Kara in children's time. All children are invited to come forward and see Miss Kara.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. All right. Who's ever had these kind of Pringles? Delicious. Hello. Who's ever had some of these? Yummy. Sour cream and onion. I finished them up, and you know, it's trash. But guess what? All of a sudden, it came to my head, this can be used for other things. All right. A drum. Hey, Miss Abby. And on this side, it's different. Listen. All right? Look what else it can be used as. I got some money. Watch this. A bank. Mm-hmm. And then you know what happens after it turns into a bank? It turns into a maraca. Uh-huh. This one can is all these things. A treasure keeper. I take the lid off. I put in my special red Bible writing pen that a very dear friend gave me. Mm-hmm. Keep it safe. And guess what? After all is said and done, the lid becomes a frisbee. Oh my God. It's just the greatest thing ever. And I was going to throw this away. Okay? God doesn't want us to waste and throw things on the ground and litter and throw things in our trash can that we can use for other things. So when you look at things as trash, maybe we should look at it a little bit differently. How about it? Think of all the different things we can do with one Pringles can. All right? Amen on that? Amen. Let's have a prayer, shall we? Dear God, thank you so much for giving us imaginations to do better things with trash and help us to reuse things and take care of this beautiful earth that you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen. And y'all may go to children's service.
Seated. As I was listening to Kara talk to the children about reusing things, I looked at the children who were sitting there, and Becky Lucas's girls were sitting there, And I thought about how Becky was so instrumental in decorating for Vacation Bible School last year. You all remember our space theme upstairs? And I was amazed at the things Becky found to reuse in the most creative ways. And I thought, I bet her girls are the same way. And Ann Mathis's granddaughter was up here too. And Ann is so creative. So I felt like the right kids were there for that message. That was great. There is no specific scripture lesson this morning because I plan to share some wonderful scriptures with you about stewardship of God's creation as I share the sermon with you this morning. I want to begin by sharing with you that Dr. Bruce Kuhl, who is a member of Shandon United Methodist Church, I knew him when I was a minister over there, he also serves as Dean Emeritus at the USC School of the Environment. And he was one of the members of Shandon who was instrumental in really getting members of that church to start focusing on going green and environmental stewardship of God's creation. He wrote a really good article for the state newspaper in the editorial section on January 30th of this past year. And in it he said, "Whatever our faith, most of us go to worship in a large room that is designed to send our hearts soaring up to God in spirit, while our air conditioning or our heat also soar upward and out of the building." He said, "We create barrels of waste paper each week. We pour coffee into hundreds of disposable styrofoam cups. We leave lights and systems on in buildings, and especially in rooms that sometimes go unused for days. I don't think that happens so much on Bethel's campus, but at Shandon, that happened quite a bit." He said, "Sadly and unknowingly, we can be huge abusers of God's gift of the earth." Clearly, he said, faith communities need to learn to show their members the original form of stewardship. That is, long-term care of the earth. He said the responsibility for caring for God's creation doesn't stop at the doorsteps of our places of worship. That's exactly where it should start. He went on to say that most South Carolinians believe that God created us and the earth and the ecosphere on which we depend for our daily living. Our dominion, he said, is to be good masters of the resources God's given to us, and that we should follow the divine ethical imperative to care for all of life. Faith-based communities, he says, must emphasize that we've not only inherited the earth from our grandparents and our parents, that we've also borrowed it from our children and our grandchildren. He relates the Cheyenne creation story, which is an old Indian tale, about how after God had created the heavens and the earth, he thought they were so beautiful that he decided to create human beings to take care of the earth and to guard it from any harm. Dr. Kuhl then asked the question, "Are we leaving the earth as beautiful as God created it?" And then he offers this imperative. As people of faith, we are called to remember the earth every day, the earth we so often tend to neglect. The land and the rain and the sun, they all work together to make our food and our shelter and our living a daily reality. When we neglect the earth and its needs for rest and restoration, and you have to remember in God's word, he commands us to let the land lie fallow after planting it for a certain period of time. If we don't give the earth an opportunity to rest, it can't give to us what God intended for it to do. He said that the world's most impoverished citizens often feel the greatest impact of our environmental destruction. Living on earth as members of faith communities, then, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. So if we're not being good stewards of the environment, we're really not loving our brothers and our sisters who are part of God's creation. Then, at the end of his article, he challenges those reading it, "Let's do all that we can, not only to preserve, but to protect God's gift of the earth." Dr. Kuhl's editorial challenges us by saying, "The responsibility of God's creation doesn't stop at the door of the places of our worship. That's where it starts. Well, I read that and I thought, what does God's Word have to say about this? So I began to do a little research. In the first book of the Bible, Moses recounts the story of God creating the heavens and the earth. And in Genesis chapter 1, when God was done, he looked around at all that he had made, and God declared that it was good in every way. When God looks over our earth now, do you all think that he still thinks the earth is good in every way? We know that our world is troubled by air and water pollution. Many animals, we hear, are facing their loss of habitat and are endangered or extinct because of human growth on the earth. Natural resources such as oil and water, we are told, are becoming scarcer and scarcer by the minute. People in many parts of the world are facing hunger due to lack of food, while other people in the world are obese because they lack natural nutrition and good diets. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 tell us, "So God created human beings, and he did this in his own image. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and gave them an important command. He said, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish in the sea and over the birds in the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" When God created this world, human beings, you and me, were given a job. We were to subdue the earth and to have dominion over other living things. Well, let's talk about what subdue and dominion mean for just a moment. Going back to the original Hebrew, the word subdue comes from the word kavash, which means to force someone into a subordinate position as through a military conquest. Similarly, dominion comes from the Hebrew word radah, which signifies the power, control, and authority of one individual or group over another. This doesn't sound too appealing, does it? From this definition, it seems obvious that God was granting human beings power and control over the earth. But I have to ask you, does this mean that we have the right to do with the earth whatever we want to? Or does it mean that we have a very serious responsibility to take care of God's creation? Dominion doesn't automatically mean harsh treatment of whatever we have control over. Consider for a moment these verses from the book of Psalm that speak about God's care of his earth. Psalm 65 says, "You, O God, who have dominion over all the earth, take care of it and water it, making it rich and fertile. The river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers, and you bless it with abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance." Psalm 145 says, "The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all the earth." But Leviticus 18:28 offers this warning to human beings whom he has placed in dominion and power over his creation. God says, "So do not defile the land and give it a reason to vomit you out, as it vomited out nations before you who were not obedient to me." These verses show that God cares for the earth and everything in it. It only follows then that when God gave us instructions to subdue and have dominion over the world, we are called by God or charged by God as being caretakers or good stewards of the gifts he's given us in this world. So what are some of the ways that we might do this? Well, I've got the three R's for you this morning: reduce, reuse, and recycle. First, reduce. You all know that Americans are the biggest consumers in the world, right? We love stuff, and we buy stuff even when we don't need stuff, right? Before we buy something, perhaps we need to ask ourselves, do I really, really need this, or is it something I simply want to have? All of us, I think, could grow to better recognize the difference between our wants and our needs. And if we do decide to go ahead and buy that product we want or need, maybe we could shop for those products that have the least amount of packaging that's going to have to go into the trash can and subsequently into a landfill. Second, reuse. Just like Kara talked about this morning, being creative, we can reuse many items that we have in our homes. For example, do you really need to go out and buy dust rags when you've got a pile of mismatched socks? One got lost somewhere between the washer and the dryer. And you've got this pile of mismatched socks that could easily be used as dust rags around the house. Could you possibly use reusable lunch containers that can be washed out each day rather than using all of those disposable sandwich bags? How about buying one good reusable water bottle and filling it at the tap or with filtered water rather than buying and discarding all of those plastic bottles? Third, we can recycle. If you haven't already begun to recycle paper or plastic or aluminum cans, start today. It is easy to do this, especially if you live in Forest Acres, because they offer this service. They pick it up for you on a certain day of the week. And I tell you, it's really gratifying to me to see how much stuff me and my family can actually keep out of the landfill. And when the Church and Society ministry team here at Bethel started focusing on Celebration of God's Creation Sunday for this year, I started watching how much trash our family is actually putting into the landfill. And surprisingly, with all that we recycle, I discovered that we put just a hair over two. We fill up one regular kitchen-sized trash bag every 12 to 14 days, which means we put just a hair over two bags in the landfill a month. That's not too bad. It could be better, but I was surprised that we actually are being that serious about our recycling in our house. I also discovered something else. You can go online and actually find people who want the items that you're ready to discard. One website's name is freerecycle.org. And swaptree.com, you can go on these websites and actually find people in your area who are looking for particular items, and if you're getting rid of those, you can help that person get that item, and something else doesn't have to be bought, and something else doesn't go into the landfill. I didn't even know these types of things existed. Let me share one last Bible verse with you. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him." While God may have given you and I dominion over the earth, this planet still belongs to its Creator, Almighty God. Pastor Michael Blaine once said, "The earth is not ours, nor did God create it for us to do with as we please." In truth, there is no scriptural basis for arguing that the earth belongs to any of its creatures. It is the Creator who holds the earth's title. He is God, He is Lord, and He is landlord. The nature of our habitation on the earth can be no more than that of favored tenants. This fact ultimately and fundamentally alters the meaning of dominion. You get it? In the United Methodist Book of Social Principles, paragraph 160 speaks specifically about the natural world that God created, and it says, "All creation is the Lord's, and we are responsible for the ways in which we use God's creation or abuse God's creation. Water, air, soil, minerals, energy resources, plants and animal life, and outer space are to be valued and conserved. Why? because they are God's creation, and they are not solely because, and not solely because they are useful to human beings. God has granted us stewardship of His creation. You know, another way that all of us could seek to be better stewards of God's creation is to take time to fast from the use or the consumption of the earth's resources. For instance, all of us could make better efforts at conserving water. Back when I was a child and I loved to watch cartoons on Saturday morning, there was always this cartoon that came on, and in the cartoon there was this little boy standing in his bathroom brushing his teeth. And as he was brushing his teeth, he was letting the water just run straight into the drain. Well, in the picture, there was also this beautiful lake outside the little boy's house, and this beautiful little fish happily swimming around in the lake. He was happy, that is, until he realized that there was this pipe leading from the lake he was swimming in up to the little boy's house, where he was letting the water run into the sink and down the faucet. So the fish goes over to his telephone in the lake, and he phones up the little boy in the house, and he says, "Can you do me a favor and turn off the water?" And the little boy says, "Oh, sorry," and he hangs up the phone. As he turns off the water, the little boy looks out the window to find the fish staring back at him in disgust. And the whole point was that when we use and consume God's gift of the earth's resources and we don't consider how they affect other people, we're not being faithful stewards of God's green earth. President Lyndon B. Johnson once said, "If future generations who live on this planet are to remember us with gratitude rather than contempt, then we must leave them more than the miracles of technology. We must leave them with a glimpse of the world as it was in the beginning, not just after we got through using it up." The earth is a gift to us from God. We're charged by God with the responsibility of being good stewards of that gift. In your bulletin this morning, you have an insert which asks, "What is your ecological footprint?" The church and society ministry team put this together and invite you to take it home and take this little survey to find out what your ecological footprint is and how you might seek to be a better steward of God's resources and the gift of the earth. There is also a website listed on the bottom of this. If you would like to take that survey online, it lists the website there. But let me encourage you all. Don't get overwhelmed about this. Simply start with small steps that reduce, reuse, and recycle. One step that Bethel's church and society ministry team is taking to help our church to corporately be good stewards of God's gift of the earth and its resources is to provide recycling baskets for our bulletins. This is what it looks like, and it's got a little sign on it that says "Recycled Bulletins," and they are located just outside the sanctuary doors through these doors on your left and through these doors on your left. And if you don't need to take your bulletin home with you as a reminder of all the great things going on in the life of our church, then you are invited to place your bulletin in the basket and it will be recycled. Friends, may God bless each of you as you seek to be a good steward, preserving and protecting God's gift of the earth to us. Amen.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters, may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be among you everywhere and always, so that you may be a blessing to all of creation and to all the children of God, making peace, nurturing and practicing hope, choosing life, and coming to life eternal. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.